Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
One of those days where you walk into work at a certain time and next thing you know, oh, hey, it's showtime. That's my Thursday. How you doing? Spencer on Sports. Back with you here on 1600 KGYM. Find us at the FM dial 102.3 and 106.3 in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively, streaming worldwide, of course, at KGYMradio.com and on our free app. Grab it today in your app store. Search for KGYM Sports Radio. Not in that voice. I don't know why I decided to enunciate my letters there. Just type in KGYM Sports Radio. Download it. Fire up the stream, no matter where you are. Spencer Wagon with you. Producer Isaac along for the ride as well with you till 3 o'clock. 319-366-1600. Busy show today. Some interesting stuff to get to today. Just wrapping up within the last 25 minutes or so, interim athletic director Beth Goetz at the University of Iowa having her introductory press conference. We'll play you a few sound bites from her and get your thoughts on her new role at the university, weighing in on all the key topics today. Beth was, when it comes to her new role as interim athletic director, embracing NIL, that was covered. Also, the gambling investigation and when we might know, when players will know what they are able to do for the season. When it comes to the student-athlete gambling investigation, all those topics and more were covered. Got some audio here. Our very own Todd Brommelkamp was down there as well. I'm sure he's en route back here to the station in Cedar Rapids, and he'll have more for you today coming up later on this afternoon between 4 and 6, but we'll get to the meat and potatoes here of the new athletic director, the interim athletic director at the University of Iowa coming up here in just a moment. Interesting stuff from The Athletic earlier today. I read this. Interview with Burke Magnus. What a great name. Burke Magnus. We should get Burke to do a radio show here on KGY. I'm Burke Magnus. Sounds like something from Anchorman, doesn't it? I digress. The Athletic doing an interview with Burke Magnus, who is ESPN's president of content. And some interesting stuff about how ESPN is approaching basically their strategy going into the next few years, when a lot of media rights deals, we've already talked about this with the college sports world, but a lot of media rights deals for pro sports and even some college things are up for renegotiation. Interesting Q&A in The Athletic about ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, and their strategy going forward. Of course, the four-letter network, ESPN, not renewing, not continuing on with the Big Ten, and Mr. Magnus had some thoughts to say about that and how it impacts their coverage going forward. If you thought it was going to be ignore the Big Ten, we're all SEC all the time here on ESPN, got to have the Southern accent in there. No offense to any people who actually have a true Southern accent. I mean none. It's actually not going to be that, and it kind of, you know, it's refreshing to hear that. You know, some of you might say, well, he's just saying that to save face. I don't necessarily agree with that. I hope ESPN, when they come to college game day or they have college game day and there's a big game at a Big Ten campus, they'd certainly go cover it. Although a lot of people seem that I've seen on my social media timelines prefer the Fox Big Noon Kickoff show because, you know, they're actually broadcasting the game and covering the game. And it's an interesting debate to get into, but some good stuff from The Athletic kind of talking about the four-letter network, the worldwide leader, and their plans moving forward. We'll talk about that before 3. Also, a little baseball. Talk about our poll question. Interesting question. I saw last year with Aaron Judge and his pursuit of history in the American League. There is one player, we talked about him a little bit on Monday, who could get close to 60 home runs this season. So we're asking you at KGYMradio.com, will any player reach the 60 home run milestone this season? Matt Olson of the Braves is on pace to get close. Will we see anybody get there, though? That's the question we're asking at KGYMradio.com. Simple yes or no question today for our poll question. And I promise this, I said this on Twitter at SW on the radio. We do have a pop quiz for producer Isaac. Isaac, are you ready for this pop quiz?
I think so.
Did you?
I did watch.
Did you? Okay.
What you told me to watch.
Okay.
Told me to watch as you were leaving.
Yes.
Yesterday.
I told you, you asked me a pronunciation. We'll describe it for listeners before three, but you asked me a pronunciation of somebody on CBS Sports' All-America team. And I said, I think it's this. And then I told you to look up this player because he is a Packers. He's a Super Bowl champion with the Packers. I can't use Packers legend in a joking term. He helped them win a Super Bowl in the end of the 96 season, January 1997, against New England. But he not only is a Super Bowl champion with Green Bay, but he's known for a play in which in another Super Bowl where he made a rather famous play when his team was on the very losing end of the Super Bowl.
That team lost a lot of Super Bowls.
Yes. I don't know if the person you asked me about yesterday and this person are related. I don't think so. But
I could actually look that up.
You could.
Before the pop quiz.
Maybe. I it's not really a quiz, but we're essentially remembering a guy. It's basically remember some guys, but I'm going to ask you to tell me what you learned about this guy. So we'll do that before three as well. 319-366-1600. 4010 weighing in. 4010, you are on top of things. I appreciate your interaction, 4010. 4010 always texting in about the Cubs and the Brewers, saying, thankfully, your jinx was short-lived. Sorry about your Brewers. The one thing we can agree on is the Green Bay Packers. I'm glad to hear we agree on the Packers. We might not agree on baseball teams, but we all have differences in life. I appreciate that, 4010. We might get to a little scoreboard watching coming up later on in the show. Brewers got to play the Dodgers again tonight. Can Corbin Burns save us? Maybe? I don't know. We'll find out. 319-366-1600. To the topic at hand, interesting day today in Iowa City. Of course, Gary Barta has retired, and now the interim athletic director has taken the position at the University of Iowa. Beth Goetz assuming that position as the Iowa interim director of athletics starting August 1st. As we learned when this press release came out earlier this year, a few months back, about this transition from Gary Barta to Beth Goetz, she's going to get her trial run, right? She's going to be able to, sit in the chair and, help this program continue to do what it does. And they are indeed going to conduct a national search for the permanent replacement in the early part of 2024. But all signs indicate that Beth Goetz, who's certainly got the resume to be a candidate for this job and has experience being an athletic director at a Division I program and numerous other places as well, including Minnesota as the deputy AD, the interim athletic director as well there, administrator with UConn from 2016 to 2018, a number of different spots on her resume that have really built up her skills and her knowledge when it comes to athletics. She's going to get her shot here at Iowa, and really been the first 16-17 days of her interim tenure at Iowa. But plenty of questions, and really it's an interesting time to be in college athletics. I think about it. Here we talk about college athletics because this is a college market. We're a football market, right? We love college football. We love college basketball. We love NFL. Most interaction, we get here is when we're talking football. And, I certainly love to talk football with the rest of them. But you talk about college athletics as a whole and all the changes we've seen, not just with realignment and who's coming and who's going, but you add in NIL, you add in the transfer portal, specifically, for Iowa and Iowa State, you've got gambling investigations to deal with. It is an interesting time, especially if you are just an interim AD, to come in and have your first day on the job as you get ready for essentially the fall sports season here, which is starting up here, in fact, this week, going into the football season, which is a couple weeks away. Certainly a lot of things to address, certainly a lot of things to talk about and keep at the front of mind if you're in the position of somebody like Beth Goetz. And a lot of questions asked of her. I did not hear the entire press conference, but I had to finish up show prep, but she did weigh in on a number of topics here today. And One of the key topics, obviously, is the student athlete gambling investigation, as we talked about. That's forefront of mind of a lot of people, especially in the football program, considering the season is, 2 weeks here coming up this Saturday, 2 weeks from Saturday, September 2nd against Utah State at Kinnick Stadium. The team obviously wants to know if there are going to be players that are not eligible to play, whether it's just for one game, whether it's two games, whether it's four games. And it just all depends on how this is all going to play out. Beth Goetz sharing today and when asked about when they might know what's going to happen eligibility-wise, sharing this update with reporters on scene in Iowa City. And it sounds like, at least from her perspective as the interim athletic director, they are hopeful that things will be doled out, if you will, within the next few weeks in time, which I think is something, whether you're a fan, a coach, or a player, you certainly would like to see happen in time for the start of the football season.
On the reinstatement process specifically, we have submitted all the requested information to date to the NCAA. And we're optimistic that we are just hopefully days away, perhaps, from getting some feedback, at least initially, on what that means for our student athletes who currently are here and have remaining eligibility. There's obviously some additional steps in the process once that decision is rendered, but we're optimistic that might happen here in short order as opposed to a few weeks down the road.
Optimistic is certainly a good thing. Being optimistic is certainly a good thing. And as we've talked about on this program, and as we all know, the NCAA is not the quickest to act in most cases. But you would certainly hope that, you know, for an organization that is about the student athlete, right, you would hope that they would understand that a lot of these athletes, particularly in football, but other sports as well, have seasons coming up. And if there is any eligibility questions or concerns or any eligibility, suspensions that might be on the line, that those would be worked out. But certainly if you hear what Beth Goetz said there, they are optimistic that in short order they should know here what might be coming down here. Obviously, we still don't know if there are more criminal charges in the DCI's probe, which is, again, a totally different track from when the NCAA is dealing with in this situation. So certainly is interesting to hear kind of their perspective on it. Obviously, not a lot they can say, because I think it's one of those when they know, we'll know kind of situations. But the NCAA, again, sounds like University of Iowa in particular is hopeful that they will be making those decisions here coming up. You remember from Media Day on Friday, Kirk Ferentz said he's hopeful they make thoughtful decisions. He's hopeful they make timely decisions. And I think you can kind of hear that sentiment in Beth Goetz's voice there as well. The gambling investigation aside, another big piece of what I think a lot of people are hoping to see from her, whether she gets the permanent job or if she's a bridge between Gary Barta and somebody else coming in, is really that embracement of NIL and the Swarm Collective. And I've seen a lot of fans on social media, and I know we've interacted with you on the text line as well, the listeners out there, that there is and there was an impasse, at least from the athletic department, helping out the Swarm Collective, helping out and promoting name, image, and likeness at the University of Iowa, and connecting that with donors and potential donors that could help out the collective and in turn help out student athletes. Beth Goetz today asked about her interactions with Brad Heinrichs on the Swarm and asked a little bit to share a little bit, I should say, about her view on name, image, and likeness. Here are her thoughts on both those topics from earlier today.
Yes, I've had an opportunity to sit down with Brad, really enjoyed it, that conversation. He sent me some notes about some tips on today, too. One was to make sure I talked positively about the Swarm, so that would be no problem. But it's been wonderful to at least start to build a relationship with Brad. I know many of us on our staff had already had an opportunity to do that. But really, when it comes to name, image, and likeness, it's just a critical critical, critical piece for our student athletes and our success competitively. No different than the generosity that's coming in through NIL gifts and through the Swarm and in other ways is just as important these days as scholarships and facilities and other operational needs. But really what Brad and his team have done, I think, has really given us a chance to be really successful. And the way that they did it, if you look across the country, many of the other collectives didn't quite have the same success right out of the gate. I think they've been very thoughtful there. And his team is almost in daily conversation, sometimes with ours, and has been. But we're just really appreciative of his efforts, of all of those who have chosen to contribute there. And they're doing some exciting and fun things.
Selling beer, selling vodka, a lot of different things, partnering with restaurants and just trying to reach out and connect businesses to the Swarm and then connect players to also that community service aspect of it. And certainly for those who followed Iowa athletics and going to the relationship, or going back to the relationship, I should say, between Gary Barta and the Swarm and maybe the lack thereof, I think, and Iowa fans, you tell me if I'm wrong, 319-366-1600, just seeing the reaction from fans, seeing the reaction from people, hearing that piece from Beth Getz there, I think a lot of people are maybe refreshed to hear that they're embracing NIL, because I think in this day and age, no matter what you think of NIL, obviously, I think we'd all agree there's probably got to be some guardrails, some guide points as to the future of this. But if you're an athletic department in 2023, I think you absolutely need to embrace it and use it to your advantage at your school to help your programs, whether that's football, basketball, to anything else that you might offer, to be a part of your university. And I think just hearing that, and the dialogue's open, they're doing good things, they're working to make us better, really, and through the innovative ways that she kind of highlighted there, I think it's a good thing to hear that from an athletic director, whether it's at Iowa, whether it's at Iowa State, or anywhere else. It's one of those things, like, you may not like it, just like I've talked about with conference realignment, right? This is weird. It's strange. It doesn't seem like the college sports I grew up watching, but boy, it's full steam ahead. And I think hearing that from at least the interim athletic director is setting Iowa up for good things in that kind of relationship. I think there is a mutually beneficial relationship possible there and very likely there for the Swarm and for the athletic department. I know there's obviously rules that they have to abide by, but hearing that, I think, and again, you tell me if I'm right or wrong, 319-366-1600, I think it's a good step in the right direction for that, considering what we heard from the previous relationship or lack thereof. 223, a little bit more here from Beth Getz, the interim athletic director at the University of Iowa, getting her announcement or her initial press conference, introductory press conference, that's the word I wanted to say there, here today, just a few minutes ago in Iowa City, wrapping up. She did speak a little bit more about education when it comes to sports betting. We heard Kirk Ferentz talk about that and on Media Day, and then at Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Day as well. She added this, Getz did, about education and how that is going to evolve in her view when it comes to sports betting, and putting kind of the modern times into part of it. Obviously, things have changed from when these rules were first crafted and put into place. And obviously, the integrity of the game is important, right? But I think, and you'll hear it here from her in just a moment, there is an effort to continue the education process and make the education process, when it comes to telling student athletes, telling assistant coaches, whoever is involved with NCAA athletics, that you cannot bet on games, it certainly needs to be modernized and certainly needs to be put into the right messaging. And I think that is the point that is getting across here from Beth Getz. This is her take on that from earlier today.
I think any time, right, where you see something like this, it's always a time where you want to evaluate and see what practices you have in place and how you can get better. You know, gambling's a couple things. One, I do think we had educational components in place, but the world's changed, right? The environment that those young men and all of us and women are living in, being bombarded with advertisements and all of the online gaming opportunities, and the fact that it's now legal. Certainly in the state of Iowa and across many states, the environment's changed. So how we educate, how frequently, what that mechanism is, I think is going to be really important. And as this, you know, we come through this, we know and believe that the integrity of the game, there's just nothing more important than that. But we do think there's going to have to be an evaluation of how these rules are applied from an NCAA level. But absolutely going to want try to continue to find ways to make sure student-athletes understand the impact, the risk, the rules that are associated with sports gambling.
Interesting stuff there from the interim athletic director at the University of Iowa, Beth Getz, a little bit from what she had to say today in Iowa City. Starting off the conversation, though, with just kind of highlighting her priorities as she starts her role as interim athletic director.
There's no shortage of things to focus on. You know, really for us, and I think this is always the case, regardless of what might be a hot issue of the day. I mean, first and foremost, your priority is always how do you best support the success of your student athletes and your teams. And that's where your focus lives day to day. And it's certainly influenced by some of the things you talked about, whether that's name, image, and likeness or gambling or conference realignment, all those things I'm sure we're going to get to talk about here. But that's really where we want to spend our time. There's plenty of short-term goals that I think over the next 6 months, both for me and our staff, that we want to continue to work through, from fundraising to making sure we manage our financial resources to being prepared strategically to navigate some of the changes in those external spaces. Just to name a few, we've got some great facility projects to both conclude and some we're excited to start. So a handful of different topics that we'll continue to pay attention to, but there's always going to be new things that are going to attract our attention. But as long as we couch those in a way that the focus remains on providing a great experience and making sure we're building championship programs across all of our sports, that's where we're going to spend our time.
Beth Getz from earlier today in Iowa City. A couple more notes to get to after the break. We'll also get into the story I mentioned about ESPN, their media strategy for not just college sports, but things like the NBA, the NFL, even the women's basketball tournament. They going to let those fade off into someone else's hands? The short answer is no. You'd expect that from the worldwide leader in sports. But an interesting article from The Athletic talking to Burke Magnus, ESPN's provider director, president of content. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit as well. Thanks for hanging out here on the show. Spencer at Sports with you here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. It's going to be comfortable and breezy. Temperatures will be in the mid to upper 70s. Tonight, mostly clear skies, and we'll drop down to a low around 50. Tomorrow, we'll have hazy skies due to wildfire smoke moving back in overhead. Temperatures will stay in the low to mid 80s, and the humidity stays low. We are going to have the heat getting cranked up, though, over the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Get everything for your automotive needs with 11% off everything at Menards. Shell Rotella offers superior synthetic motor oil. It's designed to improve wear protection and provide excellent corrosion control. Grab a 1 gallon jug of Shell Rotella T6 synthetic diesel motor oil for just $21.99 after 11% off at Menards. Good through August 20th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at it, 2:30. Spencer at Sports here at KGYM. Through at 936-6600. Playing the highlights from introductory press conference for Beth Getz, the interim athletic director at the University of Iowa. She met with the media first time today, made some introductory remarks. You'll hear more coming up with Todd Brommelkamp today between 4 and 6 here on 1600 KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Ken on the text line saying, I hope she being Beth Getz, becomes the new AD. Says she's very well qualified. She's going to get every chance in the world. She does have a fantastic resume. I mean, she's led Ball State University. She's been at Minnesota, Big Ten experience there. Was at the UConn Athletics Department from 2016 to 2018. So certainly the resume there, she's going to get that chance, right? Like we said at the top of the show, if you remember the introductory email that came out announcing this move, they are going to do a national search for her, Gary Barta's permanent replacement sometime early next year. But the goal is, if you're Beth Getz, I don't think I'm out of turn saying this, to do enough to say, this is why I deserve the job. And she's going to get every opportunity to do that. A couple of notes from today. If you were curious if the contract objective for Brian Ferentz changed or was removed, or Brian no longer reported to the athletic director because of the change, that is not accurate. According to Beth at the press conference, Brian does indeed report to her. She confirmed that, the whole nepotism law thing. So she does oversee Brian Ferentz. And she did add from reporters on the scene, I don't have the clip available, but she did add this about the 25 points per game performance objective. She said, we understand it's unique. We understand it's going to be talked about a lot, but it's not something we're going to be thinking about week in and week out. She says, we'll evaluate at the end of the season. So you out there, I know you all will be tracking it, especially if you're an Iowa fan or if you're an Iowa hater, you're probably like, he's a 22. That's the world we live in, but inside the athletic department, they are choosing to evaluate it as a whole. I didn't expect they would say anything different, to be quite honest with you. Another piece today to the public ticket sales for the crossover at Kinnick event, the Iowa women's basketball scrimmage against DePaul coming up in October. Has, surprise, surprise, Isaac been quite a hit. At the press conference today, Beth Getz saying they have already sold 30,000 tickets to the event. And according to a couple different sources who have spoken with folks in the ticket office, the ticket office believes there could be a complete sellout of the event. Of the event.
Okay. Have they said how many seats they're selling?
They
for
are
the event?
Opening up sections Like one will sell out and they open up another. So they are just, they've been opening up sections all day, it seems like, if I'm reading the reporting correctly. So over 30K, which is already the record, because the previous record for women's basketball was 29 something from the was the 2001 Final Four, something like that.
Yeah, 2001, 2002.
So the record's already been set, but I mean, I'm not surprised in the slightest that we could see a full Kinnick, but I'm looking at the diagram. Chris Hassel from Iowa Everywhere, if you follow him, he posted a screenshot of the diagram you see when you try to buy tickets through the university. They have the court in what would be, what, the north end zone? So if you're looking at the stadium from above, you see the field, and then the court is east to west in the north end zone. I think they're going to have to move that to midfield.
Yeah, if they're going to continue opening spaces up, they're going to have to.
Because if you're sitting in the south end zone by the big scoreboard, it's you're not going to see anything. You're going to have to watch it on the scoreboard. But we'll see what adjustments are made. But they are selling like hotcakes, if you will. Is that still a popular phrase, selling like hotcakes?
It's relevant enough.
Relevant for like 1920, maybe. I don't know. Do you still say selling like hotcakes? 319-366-1600. How do you modernize that phrase? Random thought of the day on Spencer.
I have no clue.
Hey, I'm expanding to 2 hours coming up in like a week. I should, you know, come up with random thought of the day.
Yeah, you got to start thinking of random thought of the day. Obviously, you can also steal from Todd since he's wanting to steal from, steal from your show.
Okay, before we dive into the rest of what I wanted to talk about today, I heard yesterday Todd Brommelkamp wants to steal Spencer Complains About the Brewers. He's a Cubs fan. How can he complain about the Brewers and his name's not Spencer?
Well, I guess he could complain if they ever, you know, win and stuff like that. But it'd be very different than Spencer. How Spencer Complains About the Brewers exists
now. Does he want me to, like, record? This is like an on-the-air show meeting. I feel like,
you know, that's up to him.
Should I record like Spencer Complains About the Brewers when I have things to complain
when
about?
When he's filled in for you, he's had his own mini Brewers segment. I think it was Todd Tolerates the Brewers.
Okay.
I believe is what he had.
But he can't have that segment. I won't take Love It or Leave It if he doesn't take Spencer Complains About the Brewers.
Yeah, I did try to get you Love It or Leave It.
If it was available.
Spencer Complains About the Brewers. He said you get second pick if that's what he wanted to use
then,
his first pick.
Then I
pick
guess
on.
I'm taking Love It or Leave It.
All right.
I think we both will split Remember Some Guys down the middle.
That's only fair.
That's like a station thing. I don't know about the gym class, but Todd and I've fully embraced Remember Some Guys. I feel like Todd, like, I don't know. I don't think he gets sick of it, but I feel like he wants to temper, like, the remembering sometimes. And I'm full bore into.
You want to keep remembering.
What did I see today? If you follow Cespedes Family Barbecue on Twitter, we've had a lot of like random matchups in Major League Baseball, matchups in baseball that have not happened in quite a while because of the new scheduling where everybody plays everybody. You're not just playing certain divisions in baseball. And they always tweet out the lineups from the last time those two teams met, like side by side. So earlier today, I got to find it now. Ah, there it is. Earlier today, this is tomorrow. First time since June 22nd, 2014, the Blue Jays will play a series in Cincinnati. So Cespedes Family Barbecue tweeted out the lineups from the last time they played each other. And I'm going through. There are names on here like, okay, like Joey Votto, still active, cannot be remembered. Todd Frazier, Johnny Cueto is still active. Jay Bruce, all guys that are recognizable. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. But then you got guys like Brett Laurie, Brewers prospect legend, not Brewers legend, Brewers prospect legend, Brett Laurie, Melky Cabrera, R.A. Dickey, knuckleballer, R.A. Dickey, Colby Rasmus. He was a Cardinal, wasn't he? Colby Rasmus, 319-366-1600. But see, we're just diving in to remembering a few random Toronto Blue Jays from 2014 because we can. Question in the text line. How do we get it? We just got into shows moving, remembering the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays. It's one of those days. one of those days. 1900 with a good question. What happens if it's windy at Kinnick? I know there is a weather, not clause, but there's a weather ticket option.
Yeah.
It was like rain or shine tickets. You had to buy the rain or shine tickets. I have not seen the update on those.
I believe those have sold out.
They have. Okay.
Yeah, because I think my girlfriend's mom was trying to buy them, and she kept on saying, I can't get them. And she's like, oh, I can get the just regular ones. So I believe the rain or shine are all out.
Yeah. So the rain or shine option was if the game gets – the outdoor game scrimmage gets canceled because of weather, like it's just pouring rain all day, then the scrimmage would move inside to Carver, which, you know, that's great. That's good. But Carver holds, what, 15,000 compared to 70,000 for Kinnick? So obviously, you know, if you want to guarantee yourself a spot at the scrimmage, you need to have the rain or shine ticket. It's not like they can't guarantee a spot inside Carver for all, you know, 70,000 people that would probably buy
standing
tickets if they
only,
could, right?
Yeah.
There's just no way you could do it. So the rain or shine tickets was the only option. I think if it's windy, they're gonna play it. If it's anything but raining, I would assume they're gonna play it. But if it's pouring rain, you know, driving winds, and they're probably gonna end up moving it inside to Carver. But last update, and Beth Goetz did address this when she was asked about it in her press conference, they've sold 30,000. And they keep opening up sections, and I would not be surprised if we got a sellout with this, or at least very close to it, at Kinnick Stadium again October 15th. So good question. Thank you, 1900-319-366-1600. Wanted to get to this before we give Isaac his pop quiz here. We remember more guys today on the program. I mentioned Burke Magnus, ESPN's president of content, talked with The Athletic, just kind of about where things stand at the mothership when it comes to renewing and making a push to keep certain sports on their ledger. Magnus, one of the key highlights, and I'll just summarize it for you, obviously. You can read the whole thing if you subscribe to their content. But he says they're going to be aggressive in bidding to keep the NBA and the NBA Finals, also the college football playoff and the NCAA women's basketball tournament. The current NBA media rights deal, which is worth $24 billion with a B, over 9 years, is set to run out after the 2024-25 season. NBA, apparently, according to reports from earlier this year, they are looking at doing a combination of both linear and streaming. Reports indicate they could try to partner with the streaming platform and keep some of the over-the-air content, even the purely cable content for their new media rights deal remains to be seen with that. It's expected, according to this report, that the NBA or several networks, obviously, are going to be interested in partnering with the NBA for their new media rights package, like Apple and Amazon, at least talking with them. But the current relationship, I think, again, as I'm a solid NBA fan, but even as a casual fan, I think the current relationship with Turner and ESPN and ABC certainly is a good one and has benefited the league moving forward. When it comes to the college football playoff, the current rights package, which ESPN does hold, that does expire after 2025. Of course, ESPN, they want that to return, especially with the strength of the SEC, which they have chosen to go with and strengthen their relationship with here going forward. But that does expire after 2025. And then really kind of the interesting piece to this is the women's basketball tournament. The Wall Street Journal earlier this year saying the NCAA women's basketball tournament itself could be worth $81 to $112 million by the time its new deal comes up, which is in 2025. ESPN's had the rights since 1996. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. ESPN, obviously, along with the NBA and the college football playoff, wants to keep it. They don't want CBS to get everything. But now that we see NBC, right, or even Fox, start to get into the women's basketball game and show games regularly, could those two be a factor in future negotiations? Obviously, we've got a couple years to determine that. But ESPN has shown really a commitment to growing that product. You've seen a lot of games on ABC. The title game was on ABC between Iowa and LSU, and that certainly led to the rise in popularity along with star players like Caitlin Clark and the many others that we've seen this season and over the past several seasons. And I know for a fact that the interest in women's basketball continues to go up. Just look at the crossover at Kinnick, which is selling 30K plus tickets for a basketball game inside a football stadium. But ESPN and Burke Magnus, their president of content, telling The Athletic they're going to be aggressive in trying to keep all this stuff. The question is, will they keep all that stuff? Will there be some different players that that come in? This is an interesting part of this, too. When you talk about the Big Ten, and they're no longer having a relationship with ESPN, Magnus telling The Athletic that it was a hard decision to essentially say, well, we've been in a relationship with this conference, but now we're going in a different direction. But he did say, it was an easy business decision to move more toward SEC, ACC, Big 12, and let the Big Ten kind of do what they're doing with CBS and NBC. He said this quote, "We made a calculated decision to go all in with the SEC, which I believe is the best college football conference by far, at a time when premium rights have escalated to the point where you can't possibly own everything." He said, "We're all in with the SEC from a regular season perspective, and we feel really good about that." He's right in the sense that you can't possibly own everything. I don't know. Was he right or wrong? Or time will tell if they were right or made the right decision or they made the wrong decision. I think, and I agree with him, that they're in a better position partnering with the SEC than they would have been the Pac-12 if they had just gone all in the Pac-12 and gone from there. You know, maybe the Pac-12 is still around. We're not talking about what's going to happen to the remaining four teams. But time will tell. I'm not sure if Big Ten fans, once they see the product on NBC and CBS and continue to see it on Fox and BTN, will miss ESPN. But still, it's, you know, still the worldwide leader in sports. So those sports are... When people think of sports, they think of ESPN, and it's going to take some time, I think, especially for Big Ten fans to go from that to CBS and NBC. But I think CBS and NBC have better production value, just from a media nerd standpoint, right? I think they have a little bit better production value, and they clearly have shown a vested interest in producing Big Ten sports, and I think that's a good thing for the conference going forward.
Yeah, ESPN also has felt just a little bit stretched thin at times, so I think it is just kind of better served, I think, if they have, you know, instead of trying to cover all of the conferences and stuff, I think if they really focus in on a couple of them, and then you have NBC, CBS, and Fox all kind of focus in on one, I think it will just overall be better for college sports media in general. Just again, it's a lot to cover. It would be a ton to cover for ESPN, and as we've seen some of the layoffs, I don't know if you necessarily have all the people to help all that coverage there. So ultimately, will I miss it? Maybe, but I do think that Fox and NBC and CBS all have fantastic coverage. So maybe initially might take just a little bit getting used to, but ESPN hasn't had a ton of Big Ten coverage in recent years. They've had some every now and then for big games, but it has been more Fox recently anyway, so it won't be a massive change or anything.
Magnus saying that they, despite them not having Big Ten rights, they will still go to Big Ten games for the college game day to promote those games. So you're probably going to see that at, you know, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, right? If there's another game that trip their trigger, they'll send a, you know, game day crew out there. But I've seen a lot of Big Ten fans, and I'm pre-programmed to go to game day, so maybe I'll start watching Fox a little bit more on Saturday mornings with their Big Noon Kickoff show. But I've seen a lot more people over the last handful of years say Fox is where it's at because they actually talk about the Big Ten, whereas game day, yeah, they talk about the Big Ten, but here's Georgia.
It's so much. You know? It's so many things that they have to cover. So I do think it will just be a better product if you can really focus on one thing rather than try to do everything, because trying to do everything is almost impossible in the current landscape, it feels like.
That is true. 319-366-1600. You're going to miss ESPN as a Big Ten fan covering your teams? Let me know in the talk or text line again, 319-366-1600. Take a quick two-minute timeout. Got to get Isaac's pop quiz. It's coming up after this here at Spencer at Sports.
I decided to get a condo and I was done with renting. I was ready to have space for my dog.
We're talking with Janae Nelson about her first mortgage with Midwest One Bank.
My realtor suggested Midwest One's first-time homebuyer program and it was a perfect fit. Midwest One Bank made me feel like there was no judgment in my financial situation. Midwest One Bank absolutely made it simple. This is going to be a relationship that I'm going to keep building.
Midwest One Bank. Simply better banking. Loan subject to credit approval. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Advanced Electrical Services is looking for an experience-based journeyman and electrician helpers. This is an excellent chance to start your career or take it up a notch. You'll work full-time, year-round. Come use your skills to do high-quality work for this local, family-owned company with a positive culture and top reputation in the community. Visit advancedelectrical.com to see what they're about. Then call to set up a time to apply in person. Advanced Electrical Services in Iowa City is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minorities are encouraged to apply.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
251, Spencer at Sports back for a few more minutes here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Speaking of ESPN news coming down today, they have set the debut for the Pat McAfee show on their networks. It is going to debut September 7th at noon Eastern, which would be 11 a.m. our time. So that's a Thursday, September 7th. That is the kickoff to the NFL season, if I'm not mistaken. Thursday, September 7th at noon Eastern, 11 Central Time. Sports Illustrated reporting the first 2 hours of the show are going to be on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and on ESPN's YouTube channel. The final hour will be streaming only on ESPN Plus and YouTube. So the details known for when Mr. McAfee brings his show to ESPN. Not on the radio, from our understanding here. If you were hoping that you would hear the show on the radio, it, at least right now, from what we've been told as an ESPN radio affiliate, not in the cards at this point. Not going to rule anything out, but not to launch. That is what I will say from my limited insider knowledge. 319-366-1600. All right, well, I got to get to this. Isaac, I asked you to look up a rather infamous play. Now, this play happened before your time. I was alive when this play happened. It's on, if you remember those NFL Follies videos. This is for the listeners, not for you. But NFL Follies videos, like crazy moments in NFL history. One of the biggest blunders, simply because it happened in the Super Bowl. It didn't impact the game, but it is a rather interesting moment. You asked me yesterday about a young man on the CBS Sports All-America list. The last name was Beebe.
Yeah, it was a lineman for Kansas State.
Yes.
Cooper Beebe.
And I said, I think it, you asked me how to pronounce it, and I said, I think it's the same as Don Beebe. And you looked at me like, who's Don Beebe? And then I said, look up. He's a Packer, number one. Won the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 31. But look up Leon Lett. So this is an opportunity to remember a couple guys in Don Beebe and Leon Lett. What did you find out about Leon Lett?
He had a really good fumble return until it wasn't very good, and he then fumbled the ball himself right before he got into the end zone. And thanks to Don Beebe tracking him down.
Don Beebe ran him down and knocked the ball out of his hand as he was about to cross the goal line. Now, the Cowboys were up 52-17 at that time. So they were. It's not like this play changed the game. Yeah. The Bills didn't go down and win the game.
Frank Reich was in at quarterback.
Yes, Frank Reich.
I saw that.
So it's not like they changed the game and they won it, but it was a hustle play. I pulled it up. I was reading on Wikipedia of the Bills. Ralph Wilson, the owner, said, that's hustle play, man. We might have gotten blown out in the Super Bowl, but that's hustle play. And Don Beebe, known as a Super Bowl champion with Green Bay, he actually was their second leading receiver in the 96 season in which they won the Super Bowl because they had a ton of injuries to their main guys. But Don Beebe, known as a champion, but also known for the Leon Lett play, where he knocked the ball out of Leon Lett's hand. I did find out, and you sports trivia geeks out there probably are aware of this, Don Beebe shares a high school alma mater with a Big Ten coach. Who is that coach? Can you name it? Can you name this person? He is a Big Ten West coach, not named Kirk Ferentz.
I don't know what. I don't really know the coaches.
P.J. Fleck.
He went to Western Illinois?
They're both from the Chicago suburbs. Caneland High School.
Yes. Oh, I thought you said college. Yeah, high school.
No.
I wouldn't have gotten it. I don't even know
high
that
school.
Anyway.
Did I say college? I meant high school. But yes, he and P.J. Fleck went to the same high school. And they're both head coaches. Don Beebe is a head coach of the D3 level, too. So there you go.
He was a third-round draft pick.
He was. Remember Shadron State? Remember some Shadron State guys?
I was trying to think
of... Danny Wood? Did Danny Woodhead go to Shadron State, or is that somewhere else?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes. Notable alumni, Danny Woodhead. Also the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, Shadron State alum. We're just reading Wikipedia. This is great radio. You people love this content, don't you?
I was trying to think of other players who I can recall who have fumbled at the goal line, and the only one that immediately comes to mind every time is DeSean Jackson. I think that one was just so brutally bad because he threw it out of his hand.
Yes,
it wasn't even that someone got him. He tossed it himself,
dropped it down. Yeah, oof.
That one will forever stick in my head.
I mean, Don Beebe was an all-time hustle play, but DeSean Jackson was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? There's a highlight that goes around the kid from Utah, too.
Oh, yeah.
Britton Covey, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
He dropped, they were going to take, a 3-touchdown lead on Oregon or something and just drop the ball. Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed remembering Don Beebe and Leon Lett today. Stay tuned for the gym class where they won't be doing that. They'll actually be talking about things important in the sports world, like Beth Goetz, her introductory press conference. Also got John Bonenkamp joining them today. Todd Brommelkamp back in between 4 and 6. I'll be back with you here to preview the sports weekend tomorrow at 2 on KGYM.